Well, well, here we are.
How can we love our country and not love our countrymen?
I have really nothing to, how do you answer that?
I feel like I'm taking crazy pills!
Hello, do you speak English, sir? Parlo usted inglés?
All right, people, we're going to try something a little different today.
We are a nation that has a government, not the other way around.
Don't mess with the bull, young man. You'll get the horns.
I cannot solve your problem, sir. Only you can.
We, as Americans, have the capacity now, as we've had in the past, to do whatever needs to be done to preserve this last and greatest bastion of freedom.
Discussing the issues that actually matter. Finding the answers using logic and reason. KLZ 560 presents Rush to Reason. Now here is your host, John Rush.
And I'm your host, John Rush, Rush to Reason, KLZ 560. Andy Pate with me today. And Andy, as always, thanks for filling in as I was gone. I appreciate it very much.
You bet.
Jordan Goodman will be with us here in just one moment. Before we do that, though, for today's show, we've got Jordan, of course, this first hour, America's Money Answer Man. If you want to call in, please do so. The lines are open, 303-477-5600. Hour number two, Emily Golden is going to join us. She's a master certified coach who specializes in executive leadership and career coaching. And then Stephen Halbrook is going to join us. He is a Second Amendment attorney. We're going to talk about a particular case in New York State going on as we speak. And then the owner of one of America's largest refrigerated trucking companies is going to join us and talk about renewable gas, but the importance of natural gas when it comes to the trucking industry and things along those lines. And Patrick Neville, of course, will be joining us as well. So, all right, impossible question yesterday. Here's your answer. A little over 50% of women say they do this much better than their husband. What is it? The answer, and this is on the website now, mow the lawn.
And my answer to that was, I wish.
Yeah, I don't buy that one.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No, well, you got to understand, my wife, it's not a matter of whether she's good or not at it. It's a matter of it's beneath her. That's for me to do.
I see. Gotcha.
I'm the help.
Gotcha. All right, today's impossible question. We'll get Jordan involved in this one. Jordan, are you with us now?
I am with you.
Hello, sir. How are you?
I don't do much lawn cutting, I must say.
No? Is it concrete lawn in New York? What do you do there?
Other people do it around here.
Other people do complex. It. I see. Okay. All right. Gotcha.
None of them speak English either.
Okay. I see. There's a little of that around here as well. 80% of us, this is today's question, by the way, it's on the website. 87% of us have at least one of these in our kitchen, and about a third of us have more than a dozen. What is it? Answer this on the Rush to Reason website. So rushtoreason.com, go to the website and answer that. What do you think, Andy and Jordan?
Have a dozen of them?
Yes. 80, and this is a big number, so really 90% of us have at least one of these in the kitchen. And about a third, 30%, 33% I should say, have more than a dozen of them.
Well, for Jordan, it would be people who cut his lawn. They're all in the kitchen.
They're all in the kitchen eating?
Yes.
At least a dozen of them.
There you go. Gotcha.
I'm going to say candles.
Oh, good one. Good one. Okay.
Chip clips. I got no clue.
Not bad. It's not bad either. You guys are on the right track, so I'll give everybody a hint. You're on the right track. Go to the website, answer it. I'll give you that answer either later today or tomorrow, and you can take the poll there that's on the website as well, rushtoreason.com. So, Jordan, welcome. I'm glad you're here with us. A little rainy and cold here in Colorado, but I think everything on the East Coast is looking pretty good at this point.
Although it was kind of rainy on Wall Street today. The market took a big
hit.
It's down the worst day since February. I think people are... There's been a lot of momentum. The market's been going up and hitting record highs, so it has to take a little bit of digestion. But I think there's a few things that are bothering it. First of all, inflation is clearly picking up.
You know, who predicted that a few months ago?
Me.
Oh, yeah, I thought we did, yes. Imagine
yes,
that.
Yes, we did.
Yes.
So you're seeing gasoline prices going up. You're seeing house prices. You know, I almost call it a bubble at this point, you know, because there's just such a shortage of housing. Copper, many commodities are going up sharply. So I think that's worrying people a little bit. And this is before we get the second stimulus. If we have the $1.9 trillion stimulus that's happened, it's happening, but the $2.3 trillion infrastructure bill would be an additional gas on the fire, I guess you might say,
right,
which could definitely cause inflationary concern. I think that's a little bit of concern to Wall Street.
Hey, Jordan.
Yes.
I know that, you know, with the housing boom, also we're seeing the jump in prices of a lot of things that go into making a house.
Right.
And so a lot of people decide, well, I'm going to stay in my house and fix it. But it's the same stuff. So the wiring, the wood, and a lot of the things that you would
appliances.
Fix your house up.
Appliances, too, yeah.
Yeah, is that really affecting people who want to fix up the house?
Well, it is. It is. It's not only costing more, but it's taking longer. My girlfriend ordered a refrigerator in January, and she still hasn't gotten it now in mid-May.
Yeah, I was doing some furniture shopping over the weekend, Sunday to be exact, Jordan, and they were saying there that if they don't have it in stock, plan on 6 months. In other words, if you want something prior to the holidays, furniture-wise, you have to order before Memorial Day or you may not see it.
That's shortages, and that means higher prices.
Mm-hmm.
The whole supply chain has really been disrupted by the pandemic in various ways, and it's causing inflation. I mean, there's no question about it, and that's on top of any money that would be coming from the stimulus bill. I do not know where we're going to come up with the workers to do all these infrastructure projects.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks.
We can't get waiters in restaurants, never mind build new highways.
Well, right? We could start by not paying people dramatically higher amounts to stay unemployed. That would be a start.
Well, and I read an article along those lines, guys. I'll get your thoughts on this as well. I read an article the other day. I don't know that I totally agree with this, but there are some workers, evidently, and again, I don't know this for a fact. It's just an article I read, but there's a thought process out there right now that some of the workers do not want to return. And it's not because they're making more in unemployment. It's because they don't feel they're making enough money to go back in and take the risk, quote unquote, of COVID in the workforce, which,
that's
by the way,
I
think is bogus, but whatever.
No, there's definitely a fear of that. I mean, employers have to have a safe workspace, and some places are not. I mean, I'll take meatpacking plants as an example, or nursing homes. I mean, there are places that are probably still not safe. And so workers don't want to go into those places.
I think that's a smaller factor, though. I think the two biggest factors would be, of course, the unemployment benefits. Look, when you add it up with other things that they can get, it's just an enormous amount of money that you have to pay now to get anybody in for a job. And secondly, I think child care is a big problem because
it
you
is.
Still
yeah,
got
well,
so
that was
many,
in this article
so
as
many
well.
Schools
yes.
are closed down
yes. Yes.
and mom and dad can't
yes.
go in.
That was a factor also. In this article. So this article
and that's
is talking
part of the
about,
infrastructure bill is to do more child care. Again,
how about open schools?
Where are all these people going to come from to do child care? I don't think we have enough people to do all the things that they're talking about doing. Elder care, child care. It's just staggering. These infrastructure projects takes a lot of people to do them.
Yeah.
And I don't think we have them at all. Never
so
mind
I guess,
skilled
I,
ones.
And I know that we have no bearing on what's going to happen moving forward other than we can talk about it and inform people and get them thinking. We're not going to affect anything that happens policy-wise in Washington, Jordan. But dumb question on my part. Why do we just not open things up and get some of this fear factor gone and get people that want to go back to work? And why do we need to spend $2 trillion on an infrastructure bill? Because I don't see that we need to.
Well, I mean, the vaccinations is what's getting people back to work. Currently, around a third of the population has been vaccinated.
Yeah, and I think that's where it's going to stagnate at, frankly.
Well, it's going to go
it's
higher,
happening.
But we're not going to get to 100%. We're probably not even going to get to 80%.
No, we're not.
Well, yeah, but keep in mind, between vaccinations and people who have the antibodies, because
right.
they've had the virus, you're actually running around 60%. So it's actually really up there.
But people are still cautious. I went to the movies over the weekend for the first time in over a year, and the entire movie theater, there were six people. So it was like a private showing.
But do you think, and again, this is a great conversation, by the way, do you think that's because of the fear factor of the movies? Because
yes.
I think that's only a small percentage of it. I think habits change, and that's the risk we run. You and I were talking about this even a year ago, Jordan. When people start to reestablish habits and they stick, it's hard to get them back into what they were doing
right.
before. What I mean by that is you can go out and buy a big screen TV now for $1,000, a pretty decent one, hang it up in your house, and get basically the same experience without paying all the money you would going to the movies, and people did that.
Yeah.
And they're still doing
people
it.
People used to streaming it. That is permanent. Habits have changed. I agree with that. And as far as ordering things online, that's also a habit that people have changed
yes.
dramatically.
Well, as
so,
I'm... Oh, I'm
it's a combination
sorry, go ahead.
Of that and the healthcare concerns. I think there still are healthcare concerns as well.
I do too, but I want to be careful, especially as a program, to not blame it all on that, because I do think there's just consumer habit buying changes that have been made, and I think that the retail industry, the movie theaters included, have a tough road to hoe in getting those folks back. And they're not doing it, by the way. They're not getting them back. They're not doing it correctly. Go ahead, Andy.
Well, let's keep in mind, I'm a movie reviewer, a movie critic who used to run movie theaters. Okay, right. So I've kind of been on both sides. And I can tell you right now, one major factor is the product. The
There's nothing there.
Yeah, yeah. Ordinarily, if you would go to a 24-plex, really, out of 24 screens, you could expect 12 to 14 of those to have fairly strong drawing movies. Right now, out of 24 screens, you might have a strong draw on 2 to 4 screens.
Exactly. You're correct.
So that's crushing a lot of it. And, you know, and let's face it, Hollywood
is waiting.
But on the
same token, they don't make it inviting either, correct?
Well, no, but it's becoming more inviting. AMC is now loosening restrictions, okay. Thank goodness. And the ones they had were ludicrous and doing no good. There was absolutely no contact tracing going back to theaters, period. But also, you know, Hollywood is slowly rolling out the product, and there's a good reason for that, John. They want to wait for the market to go ahead of them, and it's a circular reasoning. The market is waiting for them. They're waiting for the market. You see how it
understand.
Goes. Yeah.
No. So, but this is what's happening. Things are rolling out kind of slowly. But meanwhile, you've got all these supply disruptions, and prices going up. People are definitely noticing the price going up. Now, in the East, we just had this
hack of the ransomware.
Pipeline.
Yep.
And it basically cut off supplies coming from Texas to the whole Northeast.
It's like 18 states, right?
Yeah. And I just talked to somebody in Atlanta today. The price of gas went up 50 cents yesterday alone.
If you can even find it, right?
And there are starting to be shortages as well and you know, lines around the block. So that's...
It had been a run on gas, basically.
Inflation as well. So I think that's one of the things that's bothering the markets a little bit is inflation. A little bit of inflation is okay, but if it starts getting systemic, as it seems to be, that is usually not good. That means interest rates go up. That means the Federal Reserve ultimately has to raise interest rates to stop it. And the kind of Alice in Wonderland we've been in for a long time, where low interest rates, low inflation, Fed pumping money.
By the way, and I put this in my notes. I was reading Wall Street Journal today. Federal Reserve officials are forecasting only temporary inflation pressures, though not all economists agree with the Fed's benign outlook. And by the way, are these guys smoking crack,
yes,
Jordan, or what are they doing?
All of them.
Yeah, they're
crazy. All smoking crack.
Unbelievable. Yes.
Well, because this is what the Fed wants to believe. They want to believe inflation is going to be at 2% or thereabouts. And they're not seeing, I mean, home prices are up on average.
Do these guys not live in
16%.
Reality, Jordan? Do they not drive a car? I mean, do they not see the same things we all see?
Jordan, how can you combine all this disruption, okay, all this disruption of where we get everything, right, of supply, and printing all that money and not have massive inflation going right through the end of the year?
I don't get it.
What they would say is there are deflationary forces we're offsetting. And during the pandemic, that was a very deflationary event. Prices were falling as demand was very, very weak, right? But we came out of that, and we're out of that now for 6 to 9 months. And they've been pumping money, $120 billion into the economy every month for quite a while. So this is where inflation's come. We haven't had an inflation scare like this for really
long time,
quite a while.
Since the Jimmy Carter years.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
So that's, I think, making the markets a little bit nervous.
Okay.
Interest rates have gone up a little bit, but not that much, considering the inflationary pressures right now.
And Lester, we'll talk more about that. Guys, if you got a question for Jordan, please call in 303-477-5600. Jordan, where do folks find you in the meantime?
MoneyAnswers.com is my website. I get emails from you folks all the time, and I'm always glad to help them.
All right, we'll be right back, folks. Extreme Auto Repair is coming up next. We talked about this yesterday. The cheapest thing for you to do and a way to save money, and one of Jordan's cohorts, we talked about this last night late, is keep the existing car you have running as long as possible. You'll save the most money doing so. Not that I'm not a fan of buying a new car. No means would I ever say that. But if you're really looking to pinch pennies, save money, and look to the future in that regard, keep what you have running. Do that at Extreme Auto Repair in Parker. KLZradio.com or 303-841-1071.
Go with your gut. You know when an estimate from a mechanic doesn't feel right. Maybe they're telling you to fix a bunch of stuff you didn't even know was broken. Maybe their prices seem surprisingly high. The team at Extreme Auto Repair in Parker will give you a second opinion for free, so you know what's reasonable and what's not. They can typically beat the prices of their competitors, but they won't hold it against you if you decide to go back to the first guy. Either way, you have the peace of mind. The team at Extreme Auto Repair wants to keep you safe and keep your vehicle on the road longer, but they never want to pressure you into repairs that you don't really need. So with every estimate, the team at Extreme Auto Repair will give you a priority list showing you all of your recommended maintenance items in order from the most to least important. That way you decide what you want to take care of now and what can wait until later. Free second opinions at klzradio.com/extreme. Promises kept.
All right, you may be somebody that could benefit from a reverse mortgage. You've got to be 62 years of age or older, but find out all the details from Bruce Simmons. Don't listen to the folks that are out there telling you how this works, because in most cases they don't know, and things change, by the way. Talk to Bruce today. Find out exactly what's going on and whether that's a good fit for you. KLZradio.com, 303-467-7821.
A reverse mortgage with Bruce Simmons puts more money in your pocket. One of the common misconceptions Bruce hears about reverse mortgages is that they're too expensive. But here in the Front Range, chances are good your property value will keep going up even after you get the loan, which means your overall equity may actually increase over time instead of shrinking. Plus, you get the benefit of using a portion of your home's value now instead of waiting until you sell the house. Best of all, FHA reverse mortgages are non-recourse loans, which means they're guaranteed by the government. So no matter what happens to the housing market, as long as you keep paying taxes and insurance, you can never lose the house or pass on debt to your heirs beyond the value of the home. A reverse mortgage puts more money in your pocket. Ask Bruce Simmons now at klzradio.com/reverse. Personalized reverse mortgage expertise. NMLS number 409914. American Liberty Mortgage is an equal housing lender.
God, country, reason. Now back to John Rush.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Myself, Andy Pate. Jordan Goodman with us today, America's Money Answer Man. Jordan, I keep seeing things daily almost, and even some memes and fun videos that are out there on Dogecoin.
Dogecoin,
however you want to say it. Is it like the new Bitcoin, or what's the scoop there?
Well, it's a joke. It was designed as a joke. It has no purpose whatsoever. It came out about 6 months ago at 1 cent per Dogecoin. And as of Friday last week, it went up to 72 cents, partly because Elon Musk was promoting it almost as a joke. And it was a joke. And it became a speculative tool. And then on Saturday Night Live, this last Saturday, people thought he was going to promote it even more, and he said it was a hustle. That was the word he used. And it plunged from 72 cents to 35 cents in one trade.
Amazing.
That's called a speculative bubble right there. It's almost like tulip bulbs are pretty, I suppose. They've got some purpose, but Dogecoin doesn't even have the purpose of a tulip bulb.
Amazing. Amazing.
So there's been a lot of froth in the Bitcoin and the cryptocurrency market, that being the best example of it. But Bitcoin's been doing well. Bitcoin's about 55,000, something like that. It moves up and down several thousand dollars a day, but in general, it's had a good move, and I think it will continue to because it's being used more and more. And we talked about inflation. To some extent, I think Bitcoin's an alternative currency, store value compared to the dollar. The dollar is being depreciated,
right,
devalued as we print all this money and as we borrow all this money.
Hey, let's talk about that for a moment, too, because that's something that I touched on yesterday a little bit yesterday afternoon, didn't get into the great detail, but I'm encouraging even the folks that I consult right now, Jordan, even my small businesses, to where they may be sitting on, they've had a decent year. Most of my clients, by the way, have done fairly well. There's some cash sitting in the bank, but I'm one to say, listen, that cash in the bank, yes, we need operating capital to keep moving forward. We can't drain the checking account, but if we have the ability to invest that money into other tangible items that don't have that deflationary aspect to them, we should be looking at that. Because right now, $50,000 in a checking account is being devalued daily.
Right. That's right.
Right.
And if inflation picks up, even more so. The spending power of that goes down when you have inflation. So even though it's day-to-day volatile, I think putting some in cryptocurrencies makes some sense. Elon Musk put $1.5 billion into Bitcoin back, I guess it was in January, and that's probably tripled by now. So yes, it's volatile day to day, but I think that's an asset that people should look. I have a resource at moneyanswers.com called Paxful, P-A-X-F-U-L, which is a way that people can buy and sell cryptocurrencies very easily. So it's not as difficult as it used to be. That's a way they can do it and dip their toe in this thing.
I think a lot of folks out there listening would ask, how safe is this? I mean, is this a real tangible thing that's going to stay, or is it all going to tank at some point?
I would not use the word safe and cryptos in the same sentence, but I would say it's a store of value. Okay. There is a limit on the number of Bitcoins that can ever be created, or what they call mined,
yes,
which is 21 million Bitcoins. So there is a limit. It's kind of like gold. There's a certain limit on gold. You just can't keep printing gold forever as you can keep printing dollars, as the Fed Reserve is doing. So there is a scarcity value, as strange as that may seem, to Bitcoin.
Okay. So how should I say this? I get what you're saying. I'm still not sold on crypto.
Well, I'm not saying put all your money into it, but I'm saying that you should dabble in it and learn about it. It's not going away. Institutions are using it. You can actually buy and sell things in real life.
What if the feds get involved and put more regulation on it? What happens to it then?
That is possible. What they're trying to do is make it a security.
Right?
They're talking about making it a security and have the SEC regulate it. To some extent, that might be a good thing.
Okay. Explain.
Well, I mean, wild speculative stuff like Dogecoin probably wouldn't be allowed. Okay,
so
I think
exist.
That would be a good thing.
Okay.
But there's plenty of high-quality cryptocurrencies. Bitcoin, obviously, the biggest one. Ethereum, Ripple. There's loads of them out there that are perfectly legitimate and have real-life uses. So I think having some regulation and avoiding people getting hurt too much would be a good thing, and I think it would legitimize the market even more.
Hey, Jordan, what about getting back to precious metals, gold, but obviously silver, which is a precious metal and also used in a lot of components. Is that tapped out because there's been such a great demand on those things, or do you see more of a ceiling going up?
No, I think it could go up more. Silver is more of an industrial metal than gold.
Right.
But in the past, when you have this inflationary worry, silver and gold would go up a lot more than they have been recently. I mean, gold's what? $1,700 an ounce or something like that. But I think a lot of the money that used to go into gold is going into Bitcoin. That's why I call Bitcoin the new gold, as a kind of inflation hedge. So
is that partially why gold hasn't really skyrocketed like a lot of folks predicted
yeah.
it would?
I think the people in the past who would have gone into gold are going into Bitcoin. And look at the results. Okay, if you bought gold and Bitcoin a year ago, you'd be up about sixfold in your money on Bitcoin and pretty much even with gold. So
I'm surprised. Gold's 1837 today, but
yeah,
you can look at the
much.
Trends, and it hasn't changed a whole lot in the last year.
It got up to 2,000 briefly, and then kind of it's been in the $1,700, $1,800 range for quite a while. Whereas Bitcoin, I mean, January 2020, it was about 3,000. Now it's 55,000. So that gets people a little more excited.
Hey, Jordan, but if Bitcoin kind of maxes out its current surge, does the depreciating effect that, wrong word, sorry, effect that it's had on gold stop and gold starts to rise again?
I don't think so. I don't think they're directly correlated like that. I think people are looking for an alternative to the depreciating dollar. And, I mean, gold's out there. People can buy it.
Mm-hmm.
But it just hasn't moved as it would have in the past. In the late 70s, remember gold, I remember it well, it went up from $35 up to $800. We were shocked. $800 back in 1980. And that's when it peaked and then went down. But that was the inflation hedge that people wanted. Other hard assets act as inflation hedges. Real estate being an example. Copper. You know, hard assets. When you have wild inflation, if you're in Venezuela, you don't want your money in paper currency which becomes worthless. You want it in hard assets. Now, we're not there, but that's the direction things are going. People want hard assets when they worry about inflation.
Yeah, and, you know, I just had a text message that came in, said, hey, ask Jordan, you know, why, you know, where are all these guys today that were predicting, you know, when Biden was talking about, you know, an additional, you know, stimulus plan, this infrastructure bill and so on, and, you know, basically downplaying inflation. And yet you and I and Andy were, you know, here talking about how it's coming regardless, even after the first round, it's coming. I guess to answer the, you know, the question of the listener there, where are these guys now, and you know, do they have egg on their face?
It's not their priority at all. They don't think about that. Their priority is to create jobs and to, I mean, we do need to fix the infrastructure. I think that is correct, and I think Republicans agree with that too. But that's what I would call hard infrastructure.
Yes.
Hard infrastructure, things like roads and bridges and tunnels and
water
systems.
Yes, I don't think
there's
a conservative out there that would disagree with you on that.
Yeah,
if that's what we get.
Right. But and the Republicans have proposed a counter proposal of roughly $600 billion for what I would call hard infrastructure. Where you have the disagreement is what I would call soft infrastructure.
Yeah, the fluff.
Which is community, free community college, pre-K education, child care,
you mean
elder care, on and on it goes.
You mean that non-infrastructure.
Yeah, well, that's not infrastructure at all.
It's now called human infrastructure.
Oh, yes. Okay. Got it.
Yes, that's the new term.
We'll relabel it and make it work that way.
There you go.
All right. Okay. We'll come right back. Again, folks, if you got a question for Jordan, please feel free to, or you can text like we just had a moment ago, 307-200-8222, 307-200-8222. Text me. I'll get Jordan to answer that as well. We'll be right back, though. Don't go anywhere. Franktown Firearms is next. And no matter where you're at when it comes to the, you know, gun owning, buying end of things, if that's something that you're interested in or you just want to add to what you already have, they can help you. And on top of that, either brush up on training, get new training, you name it, they've got it, including all the accessories as well. KLZradio.com, 720-770-7777.
Find more guns and ammo at lower prices, only at Franktown Firearms. Everyone says they value long-term relationships with their customers, but the team at Franktown Firearms back up their words with actions by keeping their prices fair and their shelves as full as possible. Because they maintain good relationships with their suppliers, the team at Franktown Firearms has developed a reputation for reliability, which allows them to keep their shelves stocked during nationwide shortages. Because they always have new shipments coming in, they haven't had to hike up prices, so you can find guns and ammo at or below MSRP. You will go back again and again to a shooting range and gun store where you feel respected, and the team at Franktown Firearms shows respect through reasonable prices and a consistent supply of guns and ammo. Fill out their contact form at klzradio.com/franktown for specific pricing. Franktown Firearms, where students become friends.
John Rush will give you the confidence to grow. Every single one of the businesses coached by John Rush made more money last year, and most of them are either moving into larger facilities or expanding to add new locations, because all of them chose to move forward aggressively rather than letting fear hold them back. John Rush will help you take the emotions out of your decisions, starting with the way you manage your employees. Send him an email now, john@rushtoreason.com.
This is Josh with Business Equipment Service. Here's a message from one of our satisfied customers. Julie says, "Thank you so much for a great experience and your attention to the details. I was truly impressed with what we got for our money." If you are looking into purchasing office equipment or have a problem with equipment you currently have, give us a call at 303-825-5664.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Myself, Andy Pate, Charlie Grimes, your engineer, and Jordan Goodman, America's Money Answer Man. Jordan, one more time, what's the website folks can go and find out info on what you have going on?
MoneyAnswers.com. I answer people's emails. I've got all kinds of resources and videos and newsletters and all kinds of different things on MoneyAnswers.com.
All right, let's talk real estate. I know it's something that we've talked about you know, many times with you on, but it really is top of mind for a lot of folks, because if you're looking at either, you know, moving up, moving around, changing locations, you know, depending upon where you're going in the country, you may not even find a house to bid on. And I used bid on instead of buy, because in a lot of cases, you need to make sure that you have your ducks in a row and you're lined out and have things handled, because you're going to be one of, in some cases, 15, 25, 30 people bidding on one house.
There's just a dramatic shortage of housing. Last listings were about 1 million houses nationwide, which is the lowest since 1982.
Yeah.
There are 2 real estate agents for every house on for sale.
Wow.
Nothing for them to sell.
Right. Yeah, real quick, and you know the numbers, but for everybody listening, here in Colorado, we typically run anywhere from, 8,000 to 9,000 homes, sometimes even over 10 for our complete state, you know, Jordan, which out of, 5.5 million people, that's pretty much a normal inventory. We're right now averaging about 2,500 homes statewide.
That's people moving in.
And by the way, I've looked at some of the homes that are for sale, and these aren't 2,500 premium homes. These are 2,500, and probably 30 to 50% of those are crap homes, I would call them.
Mm-hmm. And people moving into Colorado from California and other places with loads of money.
Yep.
And the builders just can't build fast enough. The
no.
labor and the materials, everything, piping and board, you know, lumber,
right.
Just
board feet, every, you know, everything's up. You got, yeah, you name it. Yeah. Everything that so goes into the house is up.
It's a real crisis. It's a real crisis. I think I've mentioned before, part of it is demographics, because you have a huge cohort that is now coming of age to forming households in the early 30s.
Wait, which, by the way, just as a side note, Jordan, you and us here on our program are some of the only individuals I hear talking about what you just said. I mean, in other words, there's very few people that I hear and or read about. In fact, a lot of the guys that are predicting a real estate bust, I'm confused because there's 70 million millennials that are starting to now buy homes. And granted, all 70 million won't buy one individually, but even if 10% do, that's 7 million homes that we don't have in the country.
We build about 500,000 or 600,000 homes a year. And of course, a lot of homes that get destroyed or fall apart or get flooded or hurricanes or tornadoes. So we lose.
We lose them too.
We're probably losing more homes than we're building every year right now when you look at the whole population. And people moving into attractive places like Colorado, there's no place to go. And if you sell your home, there's no place for you to move. So that makes people cautious about selling because they don't know where they're going to move unless they move someplace else. So this is a real crisis, and it's causing prices to go up. It's causing affordability to go down. And it's really difficult for people to buy homes. I think I told you the story. My own home where I grew up in Rhode Island, we put it for sale about a month ago. And we had 38 showings and 6 offers on the first day.
No, you didn't tell us that. Wow, 38 showings, 6 offers.
In the first day, and it went for $50,000 over asking price.
Wow.
With no conditions or no inspection.
So that's not just Colorado, folks. That's what I want people to understand is it's not just this little pocket here in Denver Metro. This is happening all over the country.
That was in Rhode Island, which you wouldn't think of as a particularly hot area, but there it was. And it just happened. Where I live here in Westchester, there's very, very little available. And it's just all the people leaving this New York City, what I call the COVID refugees, with all their money are just buying everything up in sight. It's just crazy. I moved all of the furniture out of the house in Rhode Island when we were selling it and moved it in here to Westchester. There's hardly any storage space left because everybody's taking all their stuff.
Good point.
Move it. The whole housing market is really hot. And I don't think it's a boom about to bust. I really don't.
Interest rates
are still quite low. And the demographics are a major force. And then you add on top of that the COVID situation where people are moving out of cities into suburbs and exurbs. And that's quite a combination for continual hot housing prices.
Well, two things that strike me are, number one, people used to hoard things in their homes. Now they're hoarding their homes.
Right.
Exactly.
Which is kind of odd. And
secondly,
I wonder about, Jordan, okay, you talk about these places where COVID refugees, people are flooding out of various places because they were COVID hotspots. What happens after COVID? Do they come back in or no?
I don't think so.
I don't either.
I mean, those places look like old Detroit.
And that goes back to our original discussion on movie theaters and buying habits and so on. Once you establish new habits for an individual, they find a new place to live and like it. No, I don't think they come back.
It's a combination of things. First of all, crime. Mm-hmm. And center cities are having more crime. There was a shooting in Times Square over the weekend, and there's been a lot more crime. Not only in New York, but other cities as well. Second thing would be taxes, and taxes are going up in cities because they need to pay for all these services of various types.
Right.
So people, that drives people out. And then you don't have to work in a center city anymore in many cases, or at least not that much. So the real reason that people live in center cities was to go to work, and that's not as necessary as it was in the past. And people want a place to have kids in the backyard and all that. They want space. They don't want to just be in a two-bedroom apartment, so it's long-term, major change.
Jordan, are we also simply seeing these city centers moving and forming new city centers in other places? I mean, you've got to have a bunch of retail and things come in where all these people are buying homes and offices.
And you'll see that. You're going to see the suburbs continuing to develop and having the retailers are going to go where the shoppers are, and they're not downtown. I mean, New York City is like deserted. It's the craziest thing. I mean, maybe it'll come back when Broadway opens and so on, but right now you go around, there's no traffic. It's just very, very strange going in. And this is true in Chicago and Boston and San Francisco and other cities too.
It's another one of those areas where, and I interviewed folks, 5-6 years ago, Jordan, where they predicted that yeah, well, the next houses being built will be smaller, and they'll be on, you know, little postage stamp lots, because millennials don't want backyards, and they don't want that that having to care for the yard and so on and so forth. And frankly, Jordan, again, that's another area they've all been wrong.
Exactly.
Because that's not the case at all. They do
want
space.
That's the way they grew up. These millennials in general grew up in suburban places and had they could run in their backyards, and they want the same thing for their kids.
And by the way, I've watched this with family members of my own where they started off that way, didn't want a lot of maintenance, but then had some kids and realized, having three kids in a 20x20 backyard just doesn't quite cut it. We need something a little bigger so the kids can have fun and right. Do some things and so on. And just the practicality of it starts to set in. And pretty soon, well, they end up being just like the baby boomers that raised them.
Exactly. So, but the housing industry cannot keep up with it.
No.
Just cannot.
Well, real quick, the other factor I want to throw in, because I don't think this ever gets talked about as well, is the amount of individuals, and Andy and I have talked about this a little bit off air, Jordan, but the amount of boomers that, the prediction was all these boomers are going to be moving out, they're going to be going into retirement homes, there'll be this plethora of houses on the market. Quite the opposite has happened. Boomers inherited money. They've bought second and third homes in some cases. They are hoarding homes, as Andy just said a moment ago. Yep. They are not, they are not living in assisted living, let's just say that.
Right. Only about 5% of people ever end up in institutional housing one way or the other, whether assisted living or nursing homes or anything like that. Most people want to stay in their homes. And that's part of remember the baby boom, which is now in their 60s and 70s, is a huge cohort that owns these homes.
Right.
And they're not moving out.
No, they're not.
Correct.
Hey, Jordan, outside of certain currencies and housing components and stuff we've talked about, what else do you think are some of the hot investment
Great
opportunities
question.
Coming up?
Well, I do think commodities are going to do well. Copper has just hit an all-time high. Even
that makes
oil
sense.
Has come
Corn.
Back. They're all going up.
Yeah.
There's a big shortage of these things, and I think that's a place you want to be looking at, either directly or there are the companies that make these things are doing well. Oil stocks, which were really – oil was $30 a year ago, a mm-hmm. barrel. Now it's $65. So you've had a big move of the oil stocks. So – producers of commodities are going to do well. Consumers of commodities will do worse. So an airline is going to get hit by higher oil prices, but an oil company would do well. This is almost going back to what we had in the 1970s, mm-hmm. where the commodities producers mm-hmm. did well at the expense of the commodities consumers.
So learning from all of what happened back then, and hopefully we won't get to 18 to 20% interest rates like they had back then. Hopefully we're smarter than that, although I wonder at times, Jordan. What's your predictions there? What's going to happen?
I think interest rates will go up some, but long-term rates will go up. Short-term rates, the Federal Reserve is convinced that they want to keep rates pretty much at zero, certainly for all of this year, and probably into next year, maybe well into next year. So that means you're going to continue to earn nothing at the bank, basically, CDs and money market funds. But long-term rates, the 10-year treasury is about 1.6 now. It'll probably get up to 2% by the end of the year, which is higher, but it's still not that high, mm-hmm. Considering. So that's why stocks continue to look attractive. It's what they call on Wall Street, they call it TINA. There is no alternative to stocks.
Can they maintain that, though, Jordan? I mean, with double-digit inflation hitting...
Can they not raise interest rates?
Well, but what I mean, in several sectors like food and some of these things.
At some point they will, but their view is it's more important to recover from the pandemic than worry about inflation right now.
All right.
And that's the Fed's view, and that's certainly Biden's view. Inflation is not in their minds, nor was it when Jimmy Carter came in. Okay. And it ruined him, basically. We had 13% inflation in the late 70s, and that ruined Carter, basically.
Well, and I think it's probably fair to point out that politically speaking, that particular party should probably pay attention because that didn't bode well for them in the years after either.
Well, that's right. That's right. And that's one of the things that Reagan won on mm-hmm. was bringing inflation down. And it was painful. They created a recession, and the Federal Reserve really got tight with the money supply, as having been incredibly loose in the late 70s. And ultimately... interest rates plummeted, the economy recovered, we had strong jobs, but it was painful to kind of wring inflation out of the system, which is what happened in the early years of Reagan's presidency.
All right, let's switch gears, talk about ID theft. There's been a lot of theft, ID-wise, even when it comes to the unemployment end of things. We just saw the ransomware thing take place with the pipeline. How do folks protect themselves from all of that?
you got to have some protection, because in many cases, it's not something that you are doing wrong.
No,
that
true.
It's you're being hacked in a central database, and they get your social security number, your birth date, your home addresses, your mother's maiden name, and they're off to the races. Mm-hmm. That's what happens. I actually have several resources at moneyanswers.com that can help people combat that. LifeLock is one of them. IDQ. You have to be protected against this. I mean, you're seeing how these hackers are hacking into sophisticated situations. Didn't the Russians recently just take all the information from the personnel office or something and just massive hacks of things?
Yes.
You, the individual out there, don't have much chance against these guys. So the least you can do is protect yourself. Once you get hit, then to put your life back together is a royal pain, but it has to be done. I know somebody who got hit by ID theft recently. Every time he tries to open a bank account, all of a sudden everybody starts applying for loans in his name all over the country, and he's like a marked man. He can't have a normal life because of all this ID theft. It's not as though he left his credit card at a restaurant or something. He didn't do anything wrong. His information got in some central database that he didn't even know about. I remember years ago, Ford Motor Credit, there was one guy at the key place at Ford Motor Credit who was selling people's information for like $30 a head, like millions of people. Hmm. And they finally figured out, why is it that everybody with a Ford Motor Credit loan or lease is getting hacked? It's because this one guy was selling it. You know, you got a Ford loan. You didn't do anything wrong,
right.
But your information had been leaked.
Got it.
And it took a while to figure out what the common thread was, but that's what it turned out to be. This one guy was selling people's information to the dark web for like $30 a head.
All right, explain how these tools like LifeLock work so folks listening can have a better understanding of how that works.
So they're monitoring your credit all the time, and when everybody applies for credit, when they're changing passwords or they're changing addresses, all those kind of things, they'll give you a warning saying, you know, is this you? Did you really want to change your address? Did you apply for this credit card? Did you? And then you know something funny is going on.
Okay.
A few years ago, I had somebody trying to take $10,000 out of an ATM at in a Las Vegas casino at 4 in the morning.
Hmm.
That was not me.
Yeah.
Okay, but I got an email from LifeLock saying, you know, just checking that you're taking out $10,000 in cash from an ATM at the Paris Hotel or whatever it was. And it turned out it was some Romanian mafia wing or something that was doing these kind of things. I mean, there's no way you know this is happening. So when it happens, they tell you, and then you can stop it and hopefully prevent further damage.
All right. Cost, and is it worth it? I'm sure you're already going to say yes, but is there a different cost between the different services that are out there?
There are. I've actually got several of them in the ID theft part of moneyanswers.com. I mean, I just do an annual plan. It's like $100 or something, and the peace of mind to me is really worth it. There are several of these things out there. One called ID Guard, but you just have to have one. And if you get hit, they'll help you recover your name, which is a royal pain to get all this stuff off your credit report. Is just
well,
really
yeah, and even if you can get it done, which in some cases, to your point, it takes a lot to make that happen. But the time, even if you get all of that done and you're successful, Jordan, the amount of time you've invested to get that done, just I don't have it. I mean, maybe others do, but I don't.
Exactly. Yeah. And they do that for you. That's part of what you get with a LifeLock.
That's what you're paying for, right?
Yeah. They give you up to $1 million guarantee that they have lawyers. They got a huge department that's all they're doing is putting people's lives back together again. It's kind of sad, actually, that this is the world we live in, but it is. It is.
Yeah, and these guys that started these things were brilliant because, I mean, they saw a need and filled that need. And, you know, and over time it's gotten, you know, frankly, it's gotten worse and worse.
Even more so lately because of everybody being online.
Correct. Correct.
There's been a lot more ID theft in the last year since the pandemic hit.
You know, debt consolidation, that's another one of those things where, you know, I think folks probably could look at that a little bit more closely when it comes to cash flow, knowing, again, we talk about money sitting in the bank and so on. Well, money that's getting extracted out of the bank more quickly than needed is also a factor. Is consolidating debt a good thing? And if so, how do they do that?
Well, you can do that. I mean, there's different ways. You can get a debt consolidation loan. Probably the best one to do would be a home equity loan because it's going to be deductible and at a much lower interest rate. It's a secured loan. If you're going to do an unsecured loan, that can be done as well. It's going to be a higher interest rate. And then if you don't want to do another loan, you can go to a nonprofit credit counseling organization and they will consolidate all your debt into one at a lower payment and lower interest rate and help you get out of debt like that. A lot of people are in that situation. They've got a lot of debts all over the place at different interest rates. Having one to pay at a lower interest rate would certainly be a good idea.
So I had a caller call in too, Jordan, that just said, what is the stock market symbol for the REIT? R-E-I-T? Yep.
Real Estate Investment Trust. That's a generic. I mean, there's like 100 different REITs. There are REITs that do wholesale. There are REITs that do office buildings. There are REITs that do apartment buildings, healthcare. There are many, many different.
Is there a particular one you recommend? And if so, what is it?
I'll give you one example. There's one called Digital Realty Trust, which owns server farms. They have all the places where Google and Facebook and Microsoft keep huge servers that run the internet. And so they're not leasing to people. They're leasing to machines, basically.
Right.
And there's obviously a lot of demand for server farms. So Digital Realty Trust, that's all they do is have server farms. So there's an example of a real estate investment trust with a growing business that is very solid customers.
Okay. And again, folks, that's all on moneyanswers.com. So for you that called a moment ago, just go there. You can find that. Which particular link, Jordan, would they need to click on to go there?
There's something called NAREIT, National Association of Real Estate Investment Trusts, which would actually list them all right there. There's over 100 in many different categories. I like healthcare REITs. There's one called Healthcare REIT, which does hospitals and nursing homes and doctor's offices and healthcare facilities. Another one I would like would be warehouses, kind of shipping distribution centers, because all the online shopping that's going on with Amazon, there's tremendous demand for shipping centers like that. So there's a lot of different ways. There's one called Stag Industrial, for example, which does these warehouse centers. So those would be the ones that are doing well. The ones that would not be doing well would be Central City Office REITs. I would not go there because they're emptying out, and that's not going to be a growth business.
All right, Craig, you're on the phone with Jordan Goodman. Welcome. I got two calls, guys. I'm going to try to get you both in. We got to take a break, one last break, as I let Jordan go. So we got about 5 minutes between the two of you. So, Craig, go ahead.
Okay. Jordan, did you just say that right now, as far as the government's concerned, their concern is about COVID as far as priorities? COVID is a priority over the economy?
Well, inflation. I'm saying they're not worried about inflation. That their priority is to get jobs back, do the infrastructure, rebuild things, and if there's some inflation, it doesn't really bother them at all. That's what I was saying.
Now, this is, you're talking about the federal government.
Well, and state as well. I mean, economic policy is more at the federal level, but there's a lot of inflation we've been talking about that's happening. They're just not worried about it at all. They're much more worried about reviving the economy. There's still about 9 million people who've lost their jobs in the last year. And we got to get them back to work, and that's what the infrastructure bill is about. It's going to cause inflation, and that's just not where their focus is right now.
Well, my comment would be I feel like states that are conservative and run by Republican governors, such as Texas and Florida, are more worried about getting the economy opened up and are trying to rid themselves of the restrictions of the COVID situation and get people back to work, where the Democratic-run states are emphasizing the COVID and keeping restrictions in place, which in turn hurts getting the economy opened up.
It does. I would agree with you.
Yeah, I agree.
But you don't want the virus coming back. In some cases, like Florida and Texas, are doing pretty well right now. I mean, probably the worst state in the country recently has been Michigan, and they closed it down. I think it's getting a little bit better. But, I mean, when you open these states up too fast, the virus spreads. We're doing relatively better in the United States than we are around the world. Places like India and Brazil and South Africa are just complete wastelands of death and destruction.
I will make the comment that both Florida and Texas were being accused of opening up things too fast, and that this fear factor that they were trying to put into all of us, that the COVID was going to spike, never happened.
It did not. You're right.
In those
Craig,
states.
I'll leave you with that, Craig, and you are spot on. Ken and Centennial, you're our last caller. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, John. We were just a recent victim of identity theft. Mm,
okay.
And, well, what they told us, we kept getting these letters every other month from Chase Bank that said, hey, you know, we got this, and is it okay to open it, or something to that effect. So what we did, somebody said, just go to the main credit union or the credit protection companies,
Credit bureaus.
Credit bureaus, yeah. And they said, just freeze your credit. Freeze it, and then you won't be able to get credit unless you contact us and have it reopened. So I'm thinking, there's, you know, if I can't get credit, nobody else is going to get credit. So I felt pretty comfortable with that. So I don't think that I even need LifeLock. I'm not sure what you think about that.
Well, you freezing helps a little bit, but there are even ways to get through freezes. So I wouldn't feel totally comfortable with that. I just want to know.
Right.
I mean, clearly what was happening is somebody had gotten your information, was applying for credit in your name. That's what you were
doing. And real quick, the reason why, and Ken, I would agree with Jordan on this, because there are situations where you can get credit with a soft run report where nothing has to be unlocked to gain that credit.
That's right.
Okay.
So you're not totally comfortable when you've got a freeze. Yeah, that's why I want to monitor what's going on.
That's right.
And particularly if you're clearly you've been hit, Ken. Clearly somebody's got your information.
So you need to monitor it.
So I would even more so want to monitor because you know they've already got it out there.
Ken, I got to let you run. That's going to be it. I got a commercial break we got to take. Jordan, I want to put something in your brain to think about and talk about next time you come on with us next month, and that is NFTs, non-fungible tokens, which I don't know much about. I'll do some studying as well, but I've had some folks ask about that.
Sure.
Let's see if we can cover that next time
you're on. Well, this time we did Dogecoin. Next time we'll do NFTs.
Okay, we'll do NFTs. Good stuff. Jordan, one last time, what's the website?
MoneyAnswers.com. Always glad to get emails from your listeners.
Perfect. Jordan, thank you very much. Michael Bailey Law is up next. Mobile Estate Planning, 720-394-6887, or find him at klzradio.com.
There's always plenty of time until there isn't. KLZ's mobile estate planner, Michael Bailey, frequently gets phone calls from prospective clients the day before they undergo major surgeries because it suddenly occurs to them they might die someday. Meet with Michael Bailey now so he can write your will of trust and establish your medical and financial powers of attorney before you actually need them. KLZradio.com/estate.
All right, Golden Eagle Financial, we just got done talking to Jordan Goodman about that very subject. If you've got a question about your future, financially speaking, and where you're headed, contact Al today. Al Smith, 303-744-1128.
Before you make any decisions about specific strategies to collect your retirement funds, you need to picture yourself in retirement. Al Smith, founder of Golden Eagle Financial, meets with plenty of people who've never thought about how they will spend their retirement years. So he starts every consultation with an exercise in imagination. You probably have a plan bouncing around in your brain somewhere. Starting a business, traveling overseas, volunteering at your church, going on a mission trip, moving closer to family. Al will help you to envision, after decades of hard work, finally having enough time to do what you want. As you describe your future goals, Al will establish a realistic projection of what you'll need in retirement. Start planning early so most of your retirement income can be tax-free. Fill out the contact form at klzradio.com/money. Advisory services offered through Foundation Investment Advisors, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
All right, insurance is something else we need, folks, whether it's car, home, auto, life, boat, RV, you name it. Paul Blumberger, by the way, my agent, can help you with all of those, including even boats and ATVs and things like that. You name it, he can insure it. 303-662-0789. Please be sure you tell him you heard him on Rush to Reason.
Paul Leuenberger with American National Insurance offers a rebate program unlike any other. Every year that you don't file a claim, you get a certain percentage of your money back. Just one example of how Paul Leuenberger, the personal insurance agent of John Rush, keeps your rates so low. He rewards his customers for their diligence and responsibility. Paul can also help you strategize about when to file a claim and when to pay out of pocket so you save more money in the long run. You don't want to shop online for insurance because you have no idea what you're buying. You need Paul Leuenberger with American National, the no surprises insurance agent. Call 303-662-0789. That's 303-662-0789. And ask Paul Leuenberger with American National Insurance for details about his unique rebate program for home and auto insurance. Talk to somebody with the expertise to advise you so you get the coverage you expect.
It's time to leave your safe space. This is Rush to Reason on KLZ 560.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Myself, Andy, Charlie, and Jordan Goodman joining us that hour, and I appreciate it very much. And folks, not bragging, but there's a lot of things that we talk about here on our program that, frankly, I don't hear other programs talk about, if at all, or if they do, they're typically way late coming into this than we are. Not saying we have a crystal ball by any means, but I think we pay attention to things more so than maybe other folks do, i.e. the chip shortage, which I've been talking about now for 6+ months. And I think some people thought I was crazy. It wasn't going to happen. It wasn't going to affect anything. Well, guess what? It has.
Yeah, the chip shortage has made a big thing. We predicted the inflation. We predicted when they bumped up unemployment benefits. We said, oh, my gosh, they're going to kill hiring. We predicted a lot of this stuff well ahead of others.
Yeah, those of you that were ahead of it, went out, did some things, bought some things, even bought some vehicles, which, just for example, if you want to go buy a new truck today, great. If you can find one in a lot, that's fabulous. You're going to pay full retail plus to buy that truck, because there's no deals right now because there's no cars.
No.
You can't even rent a car right now, folks. I mean, you can, but it's costing. I just had my aunt. She's trying to rent a car. It's $700+ for 1 week's rental on a Toyota Camry here in Colorado right now. That's outrageous.
Even moving trucks are more expensive.
That's
unless,
exactly
of course,
right.
You're going toward California.
We'll just help you move. No, just kidding. Just kidding. Just kidding. We'll be back. If you're listening to the Replay Hour, thank you so much. We'll be back tomorrow, same time, same place. Otherwise, Hour 2 is next. Rush to Reason. Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560.